Welcome to Hype, episode 132. My name is Selena. I am back for another week of hyping with Merima. Hi, Merima.
Hi, Selena.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you? It's weird. We don't usually do this, just the two of us.
I know.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
We kicked Pam out so we could have some bonding time.
Exactly. But no, this will be fun. Yeah, I think that the number of episodes... We have done episodes just the two of us together before, but...
But it's been a while.
As often? It has... No, actually, it hasn't, because it was the Rogue One episode.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no memory of that. Obviously. Yeah, we got in a feud. That's right.
Yes, we did.
Rogue One feud.
#feud. Yeah.
Yeah, hype feud. Hype, hate, etc.
So it'll be fun if we can find something to feud about this week.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
I was going to say I don't think so, but maybe we will. We'll see what happens. We do have some exciting news stories to get into this week, including a breakdown of the Oscar nominations and the title of Star Wars 8, some Fantastic Beasts stuff and TV stuff and all kinds of fun things. So we will be very excited to get into that. Before we get into the show, as always, we want to remind you of the contact information. You can tweet us your thoughts on what we talk about or just your thoughts on entertainment in general at HypableHype. You can find us on Hypable, which is HYPABLE.com. You can send us an email, hype@hypable.com, and you can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. We also have an Instagram, which is @hypablehype, if you want to go see, take a sneak peek at our, or a peek at our text conversations behind the scenes. It's very exciting.
Oh, I wonder what we said.
Oh, I think I'm the only one who gets in trouble, really, so it's okay. But anyway, so we're going to start, as always, with how we hype, where we tell you what we've been doing in fandom this past week. Why don't you go first?
Sure. I watched Lion this week. I'm starting to finally catch all these movies that are finally coming out in Australia, which is very exciting. So I saw Lion. The friend who I was with basically dehydrated herself crying at it. So, and I said at the end, that was quite sad. So that was basically the same level. It was really nice. I really liked it. You know, it's been getting really, really good reviews. And similar to what I said about Jackie, I think it was really good. I don't think it was like amazing, groundbreaking. It's definitely a very emotional story. This is the story starring Dev Patel. It's about an Indian boy who loses his family and is adopted by an Australian family, grows up in Australia, and then like tries to reconnect and find his family again when he's older. Dev Patel's Australian accent is very impressive. I will give him that. And I think
that's good news.
It was weird. I will give this spoiler. He's actually not in the movie till like 40 minutes in. There was a lot more set in India.
That explains why he's that's
supporting actor.
He's not like a lead. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh no, you could definitely make the case for him being lead actor, and I wonder why they put him as supporting. But yeah, it's really good. I do really like it. The little kid, especially the scenes set in India, the kid who's playing young Dev Patel, and there are some other of his family in those scenes. They are fantastic. Like they are really, really good. And this is definitely that kid's first role, so it would be fun to see him in other things. But the whole first part of it is like totally different. It's really beautiful. It's an emotional story. It's kind of bittersweet, but Dev Patel. I'm just excited that people are finally like, Dev Patel, he's great and very attractive. I'm like, yes, I've been saying this for literally years. Welcome to the club. So that's fine.
I love this club.
he's like very beautiful in Lion. I'll give him that. Like he has this kind of longer hair and yeah.
Oh yeah. This won't be the reason for our feud this week. I can tell you that.
No. So there's that. And then I want to give a quick book recommendation. I feel like I haven't done one in a while. I read this week a book that came out at the end of last year, kind of as I'm getting myself ready for Hidden Figures, which I'm seeing this week. I am dying. Yeah, it's going to be very exciting. So I'll be able to report back on the next type. But in preparation to get my head in the kind of space race again, I read Spaceman by Mike Massimino. The subtitle is An Astronaut's Unlikely Journey to Unlock the Secrets of the Universe. He is a NASA astronaut. He was a Hubble astronaut who went up twice to the Hubble telescope to do like the kind of maintenance and stuff. And he had a much publicized second trip where he had to go up and basically just rip something off it with brute force, because all of the preparations that NASA had made to like undo all the screws and get into this thing just didn't work. And they were like, okay, what we need you to do is just rip this handrail off. And he's like, right. Okay, then. But he had a super unconventional path to NASA, and I'm like a really big fan of these astronaut autobiographies. I've read a bunch of them. This is definitely one of my favorites. He's really fun. I've heard him interviewed before, and he's super personable. So that came out in October. If you didn't catch it, it's a really fun read. If there's a Hidden Figures fan in your life, you know, they might be into it.
That's cool. That's really good, because people are sort of really into Hidden Figures right now for obvious reasons. So it's nice to sort of give them a way to continue.
Oh, I can give 8,000 like space recommendation books. This is like my time. This is my genre. If anyone asks, we can do it next time.
First The Martian and now this. Like, it's really,
I know, it's a good time. So exciting.
Okay, so sort of staying on the topic of books, this is kind of following up on what we talked about last week, because Lauren Graham, or was it maybe on the Gilmore Girls special? I'm not sure. On one of the podcasts we've done recently, we talked about Lauren Graham's new book, Talking As Fast As I Can. And I decided to get it, and I decided to get it on audiobook because she narrates it herself. And I always like, audiobooks for fiction are hard, but audiobooks for like autobiographies where they narrated themselves, especially when it's people like Tina Fey or Mindy Kaling or Amy Poehler or Lauren Graham, it's like that makes it worth it, I think, as opposed to getting the physical copy. So I got the audiobook. I really love it. I'm almost done with it. And I just got to a part, because it's really great. Like, she just tells stories about her life and her time on Gilmore Girls and her time on Parenthood. And it's really cool. Like, there's these fun little like background information on all of these like public appearances she did and stuff. And like, because I haven't been a Gilmore Girls fan, I really don't know. And I haven't watched Parenthood, so I don't know anything about Lauren Graham. So all of these, like, I'm getting the second story before the main story. So I'm like listening to her tell a story about something she did like on Ellen. And then I have to go see the clip on Ellen afterwards. And I'm like, oh my God. So that's fun. But also I just got to this part where she's like starts talking like really sort of not randomly, but it just kind of comes at you out of nowhere, where she just starts talking about like how scary it is to see people just like so obsessed with like their devices, you know, social media and like their tablets and smartphones and stuff, and how like that look that people get in their eyes when they're staring at a screen, and just kind of going into this little like how important it is to just look up from your screen. There's this really beautiful passage about how like whether it's all designed to keep us looking down, you know, to make it feel like our lives have value, but taking like the power away from us. It's like, it's a really like deep sort of tangent that she goes on, and it's like something that I think about a lot in my own life and try to take breaks from social media and just being very aware that so much of what I do is focused on screens, you know what I mean? And so that part just really hit me hard, and I'm just like still kind of reeling from it because I just listened to it before we started recording. So I mean, it's definitely a great book just if you're interested in Lauren Graham and her career. And it's just for small tidbits like that, like just give her giving life advice, it's like, I think you would also like it even if you're not like a huge fan of anything she's done.
I'm glad you've put this down, because I think it was in our Gilmore Girls special, which will be coming this week, and I totally forgot about it because I was like, I'll read this book, and then I just forgot. So I'm going to read it for next time.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, I'm not so into the audiobooks, as we know, because I find them too slow. But I totally understand why the people do it for nonfiction.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly, because like for her, it is her telling her story, and you get like her inflection and stuff like that, you know? Like she really puts emotion into it.
I get
so it's
like,
kind of like she tells you.
Yeah, and I totally get that, and yet I don't want to listen to it. If that makes sense. I could probably do it afterwards. I would have to read the book first, or I would just be constantly yelling at like my device, like, go faster, hurry up.
And I mean, the one annoying thing is, Yeah, because it is, it does kind of take, like, you're not reading a book, you're hearing her tell you a story. And, like, she's telling you a story in the pace that she would talk in real life. So it's not like it's slow, but definitely if you want to get through it fast. Like, it's only, like, 3 hours.
So she's not talking as fast as she can?
I mean, she's not talking, no, actually, that's false advertisement, you're right. She's not talking as fast as she can, but she's not
The story has been broken here.
Yeah. Already, yeah, but and it's annoying too because she's like, see picture number 3, and like I have no idea how to view pictures in my Audible app, so I'm like confused. So I do miss a little bit of that, but and I also actually had another Howie hype since I forgot to put this on the list, but I just wanted to say because I know that listeners, especially if you follow us on Twitter, may be aware that my custom for editing shows is that I play a video game while I edit, so I'm kind of like I don't feel like I'm losing my time because I can kind of like play, like kind of multitask. And I started playing another game, even though I haven't finished Fallout because I'm awful and I hate finishing things. So like literally right before I finished, I started a new game. So that's stupid. But the new game is Skyrim and I really like it. Like it's so good. I'm a few hours in and this is completely like black talk to Marima, like she just went to the bathroom or something because she doesn't want to listen to me talk about
I know what Skyrim is. I have not played it, but I've heard of it.
You know, yeah, you recognize the name. Well, that's good. But I figure maybe there's some listeners who enjoy this too. So Skyrim is like, obviously, Fallout 4 is like a post-apocalyptic world and all of these like nuclear things are happening. And Skyrim is like in the past and there's dragons and stuff and you have a sword and magic and it's really fun and I'm enjoying it. But I do want to say, and I'm like curious if other Skyrim players have this as well, that it feels a little bit less focused than Fallout does, because in Fallout it's like you are following a story, so you feel like everything you do kind of has a purpose. And in Skyrim, the open world, it's almost like I open up so many missions and it's like everywhere I go I talk to someone and they give me like 3 new things to do and I'm just, it's too much and I kind of lose focus. So in that way I think I like Fallout more, but I will keep playing and I will keep you guys updated because game hype is also a thing that we talk about here, so anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that. And my character is super awesome, and I named her Octavia in reference to...
What?
Speaking of... To
I want to see a picture. Now I'm invested. Yeah.
she looks nothing like Octavia on the show, but I just really like the name, so I thought I would do a little tie-in there. But we are... Speaking of Octavia, actually, that was not meant to be a transition, but why the hell not? We are currently making our way through The 100 in preparation for the season 4 premiere, which is February 1st, so probably like a few days after this comes out. And we recorded our season 2 special recently, and you can listen to that on Hypeable. You can find the link on Twitter at Hypeable Hype, and you can make sure to send us in your feedback for season 3 as soon as possible, because... As soon as Marima and Pam have watched season 3, we will try to record that special so that will get up to you likely before season 4, episode 2, at least before episode 3. So fairly early in the season. So there shouldn't be too much of a delay on that.
I think episode 2 somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But it'll be early.
Yeah, that sounds doable. Yeah, and I already read it because I did, and that's up on Hypeable now. I did an interview with the showrunner, Jason Rothenberg, which has been a long time coming. And a fun little side story to that, I talked to him about it already at Comic-Con. And ever since then, because I was like, half ran after him in a hallway. That's a different story. But we were like, we should do an interview. And then it's been from then and all the way until now, until I was finally able to get an interview with him. And it was very short. It was only like 10 minutes. So I didn't get to ask him all the millions of questions that I wanted to ask him. But I did sort of get a few good tidbits in just about his overall vision for the show and what kind of ending he envisions that it's going to have and what he sees sort of. I asked him a little bit about the balance between Bellamy and Clark, because that's obviously like a key thing that people want to know about. And just some fun things and whether he thinks he's going to get a season 5. So you can go read that on Hypeable. So I've already read, like, I sped through season 3 in, like, 2 days because I wanted to make sure that when I interviewed him, I wasn't going to make any stupid mistakes because I couldn't remember what happened. So I'm ready to go for the podcast. I'm just waiting for...
Well, hey, I had to go and buy an actual DVD so I could watch it. Like, this is my level of dedication right now.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I had to spend like $23 on that. So.
But you got all the bonus content, which like,
that's true.
We just watch it.
That's true. I am very into the special features, but also I'm like, what am I going to do with this when I'm finished? I don't need one season of a TV show. Like, that's a weird, and it's a weird to have a season three. Just, yeah. I'll like mail it to someone. If someone listens to Hype, if they are from Australia and they also cannot watch season three on Netflix, like, I'll send them the DVD. How about that?
Oh, that, wow. That's actually really cool. I hope everyone just like paid attention to that if we have any Australian listeners, because that's very cool. All right, so let's move on into the news. We have a lot to talk about this week, and our first story is going to be about the Oscars, which I were up live tweeting this week.
Yeah, you should probably take this one. But anyway, I would just do the thing that we all did, which was sleep through the announcement, wake up and sweep in with our opinions on it. So just after we recorded last time, we got the Oscar nominations for this year. A couple of surprises, but mostly as expected. So La La Land picked up the most nominations. It had 14, which is the equal top with Titanic and All About Eve historically.
That's crazy, isn't it?
So that's, you know, a lot. Moonlight and Arrival were second. They got 8 nominations each. Then there is Hacksaw Ridge, Lion, and Manchester by the Sea, who got 6. I'll just run through a couple of the kind of snubs, quote unquote. So Taraji P. Henson didn't get a nomination for Best Actress. Amy Adams didn't get a nomination for Best Actress, which people were kind of surprised about. Very exciting that Hidden Figures did get a nomination for Best Picture, which we'll get to in a second. Selena is furious that A Monster Calls didn't get a nomination.
I'm very furious. Yeah,
understandable.
It didn't get anything. Like, it's such a good movie.
Anyway. It's surprising.
It's been snubbed in everything.
Yeah, I'm just thinking maybe because it was in such limited release. Like, it still hasn't come out here. Yeah. So I'm like dying to see it based on your recommendation. But, you know, maybe people just didn't get to it. So the Best Picture nominations, perhaps not huge surprises here, except for maybe Hidden Figures. Oh, and I did want to say also, it was very exciting to see Moonlight pick up so many. I mean, not totally surprising because they've been doing very well the awards season so far, but still, given the hashtag Oscars so white, there's definitely more diversity, quote unquote, this year than there has been in the last couple of years. Hopefully no one at the Oscars calls Hidden Figures / Fences Hidden Fences, because that would be a good start, so upsetting. But anyway, so the Best Picture nominations, we have Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. Obviously, Hidden Figures must win. My favorite movie of all time that I am seeing this week. But I guess there's been some, you know, there's been some more pushback lately, I guess, towards La La Land. It's kind of like, it's definitely not my favorite movie of all time by any means, but I did enjoy it. The second time I saw it, there were more problems, but I don't understand the like, oh, it's so overrated, it's terrible kind of camp that's developing more recently. But whenever there's a movie that picks up a bunch of nominations and like is kind of sweeping the awards, which there always is one every year, there's always pushback towards that. So I guess it's not totally surprising. But what are you excited for on this list, if you can move past your A Monster Calls rage?
I mean, yeah, aside from that, I mean, I think the Best Picture list, it's tough for me because most of these movies actually haven't come out in Denmark yet. So the only ones I've seen are Hidden Figures, Hacksaw Ridge, and Arrival. And of those, like, Arrival, you know, it's funny about Arrival and Amy Adams, because like, I don't necessarily think that Amy Adams, I mean, the Best Actress list is pretty fantastic. Ruth Negga, Natalie Portman for Jackie, Emma Stone, Meryl Streep, and Isabelle Huppert for Elle, which is actually a movie I haven't heard anything about. So that one's surprising to me. 20th Century Women with Annette Bening. She had been, that had been almost a certainty that she was going to get nominated. I haven't seen that film either, so I don't know if she's good enough. But I mean, Amy Adams, Taraji P. Henson is the big snub for me. For Amy Adams, I would just say I was surprised because Arrival, I watched that movie. I wasn't super impressed with it, but I was really impressed with her. So, you know, seeing it nominated for director and for Best Picture, but not for Best Actress, kind of feels a little bit strange, but I mean, it's a small thing, and Amy Adams has been nominated before, so it's not like a huge tragedy. But I think
I think that was bigger. Yeah, I think that was the thing with Amy Adams, was people just saying, like, look, if there was something that should have been nominated from Arrival, it should have been her. And also because, like, they accidentally put her up as a nominee and then quickly took her down. Like, there was a mistake when they announced them on Twitter, I think. And so that, like, pointed it out to people. That's more weird. Like, wait, she's there, but she's not there. So, yeah, but definitely, like, Taraji P. Henson.
Mm-hmm. So that was the thing. And then obviously, like, the supporting actress category, supporting actor, those are all great. And I think the only thing that sort of sticks out to me is Mel Gibson nominated for Hacksaw Ridge is obviously, like, atrocious. Like, I feel like that should not have happened. And that makes me really sad, because he also seems like one of the front runners to win, even though it's obviously going to be Damien Chazelle, because La La Land's going to win everything. But, you know, so that one's kind of... But the rest of it, I mean, it seems pretty... pretty good all around. Like, there's nothing really that sticks out to me as being particularly, like, atrocious.
No, I think there's definitely been some controversy around Casey Affleck's nominations.
Oh, right. That was the other one, yeah.
More recently. He and Mel Gibson, people have some questions about, understandably. Like you said, I mean, La La Land's going to sweep it, I think. It would be nice to see... like, for Moonlight to pick up some of these, though. I think that's they have a good shot at some.
Yeah,
I'm Moonlight dying to see that, like, too. Above. It's still not out. Also,
like, Moonlight, because I haven't seen Moonlight either, so I'm, like, really, really stoked for that one. And I think seeing as the past award shows have kind of pit Moonlight and La La Land against each other. You know, I'm more, like, curious to see how that will do. But it's tough, too, because we're looking at all these categories just going, like, yeah, great nominees, but La La Land's going to win. And I think maybe that's, like, where the fatigue comes from, because, like, I haven't seen the movie yet. I have no expectation other than it's probably going to be great. But it feels a little bit like that year where that black and white film I forgot the name of won everything.
The Artist,
where, yeah, and it feels a little bit like going back instead of going forward, where I think that's kind of where the frustration comes in with La La Land. Like, it's celebrating a time gone by, where some of the other nominees, they show a forward movement in the film industry, and I think that's, like, the divide. But I'm sure La La Land is fantastic. Like, I don't think it doesn't deserve to win.
Well, it's a good movie.
It would just be more interesting if another movie swept some of these categories, you know?
Well, yeah, I think I'm just thinking back to, I think it was 2015 when there was Birdman and Boyhood, and it was, like, an actual competition, and people were not sure which 14, one was going to win. Was it 14? Yeah, maybe.
No, it could have been. No, I don't know.
I don't know. Around then. It was, like, 2 or 3 years ago. And, and, like, that's kind of...
Yeah,
I mean,
it was exciting.
You know, that was exciting, because it was, like, people were genuinely not sure. Last year, kind of by the time we got to the Oscars, everyone was pretty confident in Spotlight, even though The Revenant was making noise. So, yeah, you know, this happens. And I guess your level of excitement depends on how invested you are in the front run of film. If you're not that into La La Land, like, this is not going to be a very exciting year for you. Although, you know, you might see some of the films that you like picking up nominations in. I mean, obviously, like, the supporting categories, La La Land is not nominated. But even, like, in the best actress and stuff, like, that's, I don't think Emma Stone is a sure for that by any means.
I was just going to make a quick point about the supporting thing, that I wonder if they put Dev Patel in there so he wouldn't have to compete with Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I have to look into this because I'm, like, genuinely curious. I was wondering if they put the kid up for something as well, because there are a couple other people in the film that you could make a case for, definitely. But, you know, there are things for the non-La La Land fan, although I'm sure we'll definitely have some kind of musical, tribute or something.
100%. Yeah, yeah.
To open the show again, maybe.
Miranda's going to sing. Do you think so?
Oh.
That he'll come on and sing Moana?
What song is he nominated for?
How Far I'll Go.
Well, that's not...
The Moana song?
No, I mean, hopefully they get the girl who played Moana to sing it.
Doesn't he sing... I haven't seen... This movie hasn't come out here yet. I don't know what I'm talking about. I thought that was his song.
No. That's okay. That's not his.
Okay, then.
His song is We Know the Way. Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, probably they'll do a duet or something. I would be surprised if they didn't try and get him involved somehow.
I think he wrote it, right? So
Yeah.
But no, I think just for like to sort of round up a little bit, I think if I was going to say any sort of predictions, I would say I think actually best actress, that was a good point. I think Ruth Negga has a really good shot at winning for Loving.
I am again dying to see that. Like,
yeah, me too.
So many things
just
I
based
need
on
to
buzz.
See. Yeah, well, no, a friend of
the,
mine.
The two foreigners trying to predict movies.
Yeah, I know. It's great. A friend of mine saw that and said like she was just phenomenal in that. Also, I can't believe I didn't mention the best nomination of all time: best makeup and hairstyling, Star Trek Beyond, the Oscar nominated movie.
Oh yeah.
Also,
congrats.
Suicide Squad. Thank you, I appreciate it. Suicide Squad. I mean, to just give a couple like kind of fandomy shout outs. Suicide Squad got a nomination. Fantastic Beasts got some. Passengers did. So you know, once you get down to the kind of production part of it, there's a couple more questionable ones. But whatever. Imagine if when Star Trek Beyond wins, I will be referring to it for the rest of my life as Oscar-winning movie, Star Trek
Oscar
Beyond.
Winning.
Yes.
I just thought it was hilarious that Rogue One was up for sound mixing because, as we talked about at length, like the version I saw had that terrible, terrible sound. So
I know.
I was like, what?
Oh, irony.
Like, of all the awards.
Yeah.
But okay, whatever. That's exciting. La La Land is going to win that one anyway, so. fun stuff. Documentary feature, I'm rooting for 13th by Ava DuVernay because that is fantastic. And foreign language film, I would say I was voting. I mean, you and I are competing.
That's true, but I haven't seen my movie.
I haven't seen my movie either.
All right, let's try and do that.
I was going to say that Tony Erdmann from Germany, which has been getting huge buzz over here in Europe, was the sure winner. But at the moment, considering everything that's happening in the world, I am rooting for The Salesman from Iran. And also there was some horrible, you know, news about
that.
Like how the guy who made it can't actually attend the Oscars for various reasons. So let's all send in our thoughts for that movie.
Definitely.
Yeah. But so, I mean, it was exciting. It was an exciting time. I think it's going to be fun. The Oscars are on February 26th, so just short of a month away. And I'm hoping to actually have seen some of these movies before, if they come out over here.
Yeah, well, they're all starting to kind of starting to hit in Australia now. So I'm, you know, I'm making my way through them as I can get to them.
Yeah.
So next time we might even know what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. The good thing is that a lot of these movies probably wouldn't have come out here, like if not for being nominated for Oscars, but now they probably will. So I'm
Yeah, that's the
about
same
that.
Here, actually. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Things like Moonlight and stuff would have maybe made it to an art house cinema, like if we were lucky. But there are some good things about the nominations for sure.
Absolutely. All right, so moving on, we have some big movie news, most notably the title of Star Wars Episode 8, which has been called, dun dun dun, The Last Jedi. So, first of all, first reactions, what did you think when you saw this title?
Oh, I really like it. I mean, I'm very colored by like the meme that came out afterwards of them putting all the titles together. But if I try and ignore that, which I just love, I think that was great. No, I really, really like it. I don't know, like all the Star Wars stuff is just still making me really excited. I think like this was a good level of intrigue because we can like be a bit, oh, who are they referring to? Like, is it singular? Mm-hmm. Is it plural? Like what's happening? But yeah, I like it. And, I really hope that it doesn't mean that we're going to lose Luke in this. Like, that would just break my heart. But
that would be terrible.
If it means that we're getting a proper, like, Luke-focused story, which is, I think, what everyone was hoping for after Force Awakens, then, yeah, I'm so on board with that.
Me too. I'm very, very excited. Like, this title just... Because, you know, I don't know. I was expecting something like The Rise of the New Order or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
So, like, this feels more like a finale, obviously, because it has the word last in it. Like, I know it's not rocket science, but it feels like a
finale. Well, because of Return of the Jedi is think about.
Yeah, that too, actually. So I'm like, it's weird because like this makes no sense, but like just because the title is so epic, it makes me feel like the movie's going to be like super epic and it is not going to be like a filler middle film. Not that it would be. I don't know what the hell. But anyway, this title makes me really happy. And I like, because we already know that Luke Skywalker is going to be a huge part of this movie, and him and Rey training is going to be really important. And I like to think, I mean, I like to think it's both of them, you know. I like to think
the Last Jedi,
because we feel like the Order of the Jedi is sort of coming to an end, right? So it's kind of like signifying the end of this old Order of Jedi and the rise of something new. So I like to think it's sort of like the last of the traditional Jedi. So what's going to come next? Like, who are the next versions of the Jedi, you know? And it's going to be led by, hopefully, Rey and Luke. Because, I mean, especially because of, I mean, the death of Carrie Fisher is an obvious factor that we can't ignore. But it also just would be super morbid if, like, each of the Star Wars movies sort of killed off one of the original three. Like,
yeah.
One thing was killing off Han Solo. I understood that. But if they're going to keep that up, I'm not going to be very excited about that. I think you can overplay the death card really easily. Speaking to our previous discussion.
Yeah. I don't think, like, they obviously did. They killed Han Solo without any thought that they were going to kill General Organa, though. So, obviously going to have to deal with that, like you said, in the series. And so I hope that means that we're not going to lose Luke. I just think, like, it would be really rough to deal with Han Solo. Like, he's that kind of character. He's very beloved, but Luke is so the heart of those movies. And
exactly.
And was also like such a, I mean, for the time and even now looking back on it, like, he's such an interesting hero because he isn't this like ultra masculine, you know, like leading man coming in. He was always like, there was more going on in that. And so I'm very excited to see him in this kind of mentoring role, but also I just don't want, I really don't want the motivation for like everyone going forward to be like, and then this person died, and then this person died.
No, exactly.
And it would be, I mean, I'm not saying it would be a poor way to honor the story, but like, they did such a great job in Force Awakens of saying like, look, we're moving forward, but also we're not totally disregarding what happened before. Like, this is the same tradition of Star Wars. This is for the fans and for the people who love these stories. And I feel like killing Luke would kind of be a disservice to that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally agree. Like, it's pretty much exactly what I meant. Like, it's, you know, you don't need to kill off the old to usher in the new. And I feel like Han Solo was like a symbolic gesture, but it's very quickly going to be like hitting you over the head with an anvil if they keep that up. So, I mean, and also, the title is The Last Jedi. So if they actually killed off Luke based on that title, it would just seem super on the nose and too much. So I have hope
that they're
not actually going to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited either way, because this is going to be so much fun. And I cannot believe that it's less than a year away now.
So can we talk about quickly the thing where people put all the titles together and we're trying to predict what episode 9 would be?
Yes.
So it turns out if you put the titles in a row, they form a sentence. So The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi. So people were trying to predict what would be after that. And my favorite one was From His Nap. So The Force Awakens, Last Jedi, From His Nap. Especially because with Luke has that kind of like manky beard right now. And that just seems appropriate that he would kind of be like woken up and sort of grumpy about it. And, you know, I appreciate that characterization. So... Imagine if it is a sentence at the end, you know, like that would be great.
I was thinking actually, before even seeing the meme, I made the connection like that The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi was a sentence. But if they act like it would be so cool, like not with his nap, obviously, but like if it was something really epic, like, I don't know, I can't think of anything like To the Fight or something. I don't know what the hell, like it would have to be a little bit abstract to like. To make it fit, but that would be very, 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 very cool, and I would love that. And if they hadn't thought of it before now, I hope the meme has made them reconsider.
Yeah, I'm sure they haven't thought of a title.
No, I'm sure they're just thinking, right? They're still looking for ideas. So moving on to another franchise that is equally anticipated, Marvel, of course. The synopsis and casting has officially been announced for Black Panther, which is one of the most exciting upcoming installments of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Production began on January 26th, and the movie is anticipated to hit theaters on February 16th, 2018. The synopsis for Black Panther reads, Black Panther follows T'Challa, who, after the events of Captain America: Civil War, returns home to the isolated, technologically advanced African nation of Wakanda to take his place as king. However, when an old enemy reappears on the radar, T'Challa's mettle as king and Black Panther is tested when he is drawn into a conflict that puts the entire fate of Wakanda and the world at risk. And confirmed for the film are officially Chadwick Boseman, who of course plays Black Panther, Michael B. Jordan, Lupita Nyong'o, Danai Gurira, Martin Freeman, Daniel Kaluuya, and Angela Bassett, and Forest Whitaker, and Andy Serkis. And we have newcomers, Letitia White, Winston Duke, Florence Kasumba, who was also in Civil War, Sterling K. Brown, and John Connie. So no Sebastian Stan, though I'm still banking on them keeping him a secret.
Oh, but yeah.
Other than that, this just sounds so fantastic. I'm really, really stoked for this.
Yeah, totally. It's very exciting for like this to finally be happening properly, like to get actual details. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've made a secret that this is one of our more anticipated movies in the Marvel slate. And everything for this looks great and sounds amazing. And obviously, like, you know, it's so typical to like have this amazing line of actors and be like, where's that white guy that we like? But I expect to see Sebastian Stan pop up in this, like, or I don't think they would mm-hmm. have done the ending in Civil War. Like they would have mm-hmm. just taken him somewhere else. So it would be kind of ridiculous
exactly.
to me.
Yeah, and it's like a tie-in to the main story, you know, because there isn't really anyone like you don't have like in Spider-Man we have Iron Man to tie it in, and here we don't.
Well,
really
and it's Spider-Man.
Anyone.
Yeah.
Well, that too.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Maybe not in all of it. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, I was Chadwick Boseman do anything. I thought he, as Black Panther, was 100% one of the highlights of Civil War, which was, you know, people have mixed feelings about, but, you know, I'm just so excited to see, like, Lupita Nyong'o in a Marvel movie.
Yes.
That's amazing. You know, I'm excited to see all of this, like, this whole cast.
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, this cast is fantastic. I'm not concerned about any of that, and I'm just hoping that, like, Civil War was pretty contrived, and it seemed like the kind of movie that perhaps the directors and the screenwriters wanted to tell was maybe altered, or they had to change things for the studio and for like future movies and for Robert Downey Jr.'s contract. So whatever, I'm hoping that they kind of leave this alone and let them do it, because the standalone, like the origin story or the side character movies, they can be great if they kind of let them just be what they are. You know, the first Iron Man is a great example, the second Captain America, even like the Thor movies, which are just ridiculous. So if they let this alone, yeah. Oh, I am so excited. Actually, like side note, the Thor 3 directed by mm-hmm. Taika Waititi, my favorite director of all time, is probably my most anticipated Marvel movie ever.
Me too.
Even more than like Captain Marvel or anything, because he's hilarious and I am dying to see his take on this weird like camp world of Thor. But that aside, no, this is all very exciting. So
it is. And you are absolutely 100% right. Like, I feel like, and that's the thing with Civil War, like, I'm so glad that so many people liked it. But to me, it just felt like a transition movie, you know? It felt like we need to put these characters in these situations for Avengers finale, and we need to put them, like, divide them up in this way. And they didn't really give any, to me, really good reasons for splitting them up the way they did. And it just felt very, very bloated and very over the top, but that doesn't mean that the individual stories, like you said, aren't great. And Black Panther is obviously like what is beside from the fact that it's Black Panther and it's really important. It also just feels, you can feel it's a passion project. You can feel that Marvel understands how important this is and how much they're going to honor it as an individual story, which just for the quality of the movie is a really good thing. So that's like just one of the many, many reasons to be excited for it. And just the other thing I wanted to note is that Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis were obviously both in The Hobbit, and they're both going to be in this movie.
Yeah, well, they've both already been in the MCU.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know,
so
they're reprising their angry white man characters or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. I guess they're the, you know. That's the other thing. If Martin Freeman is in it, or like, I'm, Sebastian Stan has to be in it, I feel like, because that was his entire role was just I'm chasing this guy and I'm trying to look him up. And and like that was it, versus Andy Serkis as an actual kind of antagonist. So we will see. Okay, moving from one big franchise to another, it's time for Harry Potter news. As always on Hype, there's always something here. We have a few stories to get started with. We found out that Eddie Redmayne is going to be narrating an audiobook version of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. This is just the textbook, guys. So, like, before anyone gets too excited about this being a whole other thing, this is just the textbook. But, yeah, he's going to be doing the narration. This is for the new edition that's being republished on the 17th of March with new creatures. So it's going to have that new updated info in it. And, yeah, the audiobook's going to be released around the same time. So, I mean, cool, I guess. If you're the audiobook fan on the show, so are you into this?
I mean, we already kind of talked about how I don't actually have a copy of Fantastic Beasts.
That's true.
So that might, you know, up the... But, I mean, no, I don't... I'm sorry. I don't really care. Like, it's not... It's a list of creatures. Like, it's not exciting to me. So
no.
Whatever. But it's cool. I mean, it's a great tie-in, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, no one would ever get the audiobook version of this if Eddie Redmayne wasn't narrating it. So, like, it's pretty clear to see why they're doing it. But it's just another example of the kind of meld, like the crossovers that are happening between book and movie that are, some people are excited for. Anyway, so more Fantastic Beasts news, this time strictly in the movie world. We had the announcement of the DVD and Blu-ray release, which is coming on the 7th of March. That's for the digital release, and then the 28th of March for the DVD and Blu-ray. And they have announced the special features, so I'll run through them really quick. We have, I'm just going to start at the bottom because why not? We have 11 deleted scenes, and there was one of these with the sisters singing the school song that was up on Hyperball, so we're starting to get some of these already. There are design featurettes, we have Shaping the World of Fantastic Beasts, New York, Makuza, Newt's Magical Case, The Shaw Banquet, and The Blind Pig. These are like the 360 kind of things. We have creature featurettes. The creatures, Meet the Fantastic Beasts, the Bowtruckle, Demiguise, the Arumpant, the Niffler, the Occamy, and the Thunderbird. Character featurettes on the Magizoologist, the Goldstein Sisters, the New Salemers, the Nomadge Baker, the President, and the Aura. And before Harry Potter, a new era of magic begins. And this is a kind of documentary that features J.K. Rowling, David Yates, and David Heyman to kind of get started in this new world and all of that. So, I mean, that's a good amount of special features, I think. People are into that kind of thing. It looks cute.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to buy this. But
you know... Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I haven't bought... Speaking of DVDs, actually, it's funny because I haven't really bought any new DVDs since I got a computer that doesn't have a DVD drive.
Like, well, yeah,
it's,
same.
It's really not a thing I do.
No.
So, I mean, the last DVD... I did get the Star Wars Force Awakens DVD and I never watched this... Well, I think I began to watch the special features and I kind of... Because they are actually really good, but then I kind of never really finished them. And
that's I have that digital one, but with the special features. You know what DVD I got recently? I was given for Christmas Star Trek Beyond. So I'm not even joking.
I mean, people who want more insight into that Fantastic Beasts universe will probably not be disappointed by this. Although I'm always, every time they come out with a new DVD, I'm always like, where is the like extended edition of the movie? You know,
why
is that not a thing that is more common? Because that's what everyone wants.
Do you think we're going to get them eventually for this? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did it for Fantastic Beasts, maybe. Like for Harry Potter.
But what's weird is that... Yeah, I mean, it's weird because like some of the deleted scenes weren't even in the script that was published.
Yeah, true.
So like it's not even like not even the script was like a complete script, like an extended script. So I don't. It feels a little bit like odd, and I don't think we're gonna. I don't think they're necessarily committed to giving us like the full picture or anything.
No,
which is a shame for fans, but at the same time I'm like still a little bit disconnected from Fantastic Beasts, so I'm not like personally really upset about it, but I could see why some people would be.
Yeah, I think the documentary for sure.
To me, let's just put it that way.
No, I feel exactly the same. But if you are into it, like 11 deleted scenes, that's a lot. That's a decent amount. And the documentary with J.K. Rowling is definitely a big draw. You know, the featurettes can kind of go either way. I feel on DVDs, it can just be like them cutting together footage from the movie with a very short interview.
Yeah. Or you know, it can be like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, exactly. So you never really know. But there was a documentary. I think it was for Deathly Hallows Part 2 that they filmed. It was about the end of the movie, and that was really good. Yeah, like that behind the scenes documentary. Yeah. And it was quite long as well. It was an hour or something. So if they do something similar to that, I can definitely see why people would be interested in this.
Do you remember the like cut scenes from the Harry Potter movies were basically like the same scene with like one added, extra 15 long seconds or something. Like it was such a joke.
Yeah, you're like, that's not what this means.
Just B-roll, like dropped on the floor, and
yeah.
But anyway, this is very exciting. So when does that come out?
It was the 28th of March. Is that what I said?
Okay. Okay, so staying in the Harry Potter universe, but moving across the pond to where it all began, there was a big sort of social media teasing that I think pissed Andrew off on Hyperball because it turned out to not be as exciting as he had hoped it would be. It was the hashtag follow the spiders that turned out to be an announcement of an expansion of the Harry Potter studio tour, which is going to be opening a forest section. This is obviously the studio tour in Leavesden near London. It was kind of made at the opening the celebration of Harry Potter, which was this big thing, and it's going to be permanent. So for anyone who's sort of planning to visit the studio tour or needs a reason to come back, this is a really good thing. You can go and see Buckbeak, like a full-size model of it, and you can bow to the creature and see if he bows back, which is also really fun. And Buckbeak, I mean, obviously that was one of the biggest. I remember they were so proud of that, like that speak of your special features, they were all about how they did Buckbeak and how proud they were of that thing. So that'll be fun to see in the studio tour, and it's not obviously going to be relevant to like super many people. I was invited for Hyperball to go to the launch, and that's like the only time I've been able to go, and I'm literally like one small ocean away and that's it. So I can imagine it must be difficult for people. But for those of you who can go or who maybe wants to pair it up with a trip to Cursed Child, this is maybe a good reason to go because it is a fun experience. And my only wish when I went was that it was bigger. So this answers that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Although, like, they do pack quite a lot in there. Like, I remember being in there for a while when I went.
Yeah, it's a really good, like, anyone who's interested in how movies are made.
Yeah.
Like, even, it's, like, less about Harry Potter and more just about the movie making and props and costumes.
Yeah, yeah, they have, it's kind of in different sections, and definitely for me, I was more interested in the kind of earlier sections, which, like you said, Warwick Davis kind of guides you through them, and they're about the kind of the actual gritty like movie making of how they do things. But then if you are there for the Harry Potter stuff, like they have so many sets there and there are things preserved and you get to like walk down, what is it, Diagon Alley?
Yeah.
So, you know, they're like, I guess they're really digging into this now and they'll keep expanding it. But like, what was Andrew mad about? What was he expecting it to be? Like, we already know everything that's happening.
Probably something America based. Like, oh, let's be real. He was hoping it would be the theme park, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Take that, America.
That's like in his backyard. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it is.
I mean, don't get everything.
You can almost see it from his place.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that's very exciting. Moving on to some sad news now, sort of related to Harry Potter, but also just in general, another great legend name has been lost to us this year. John Hurt passed away at the age of 77, and he was obviously known for his roles in Harry Potter as Ollivander. He was known for Alien, The Elephant Man, 1984, V for Vendetta, Doctor Who, as well as Merlin. Which, you know, he played the dragon and he had that amazing "In a Land of Mist and a Time of Magic" that everyone loves so much. And I mean, it's very upsetting, and obviously it's a great loss, and at least you can say that he lived a very long life and he got to do some amazing things and he got to really leave a legacy behind. But it's still very, very sad, and you know, we obviously wish the best to his family. I know that a lot of people were very upset about this on social media. So it's always sad when this happens.
Yeah, I just saw him in, he was in Jackie. I just saw him in that. Mm. So it was like crazy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he has a little role in that. But yeah, and obviously like the war doctor and everything. I mean, he's kind of crossed from like classic, you know, quote unquote proper like stage and film acting and done so many fandom things
really
as well.
Big fandom stuff, yeah.
Yeah, there's like a huge cross section of people who are affected by this. That's really sad. There are a lot of really beautiful tributes I saw. And just keeping on the sad news, unfortunately, for a minute, we also lost this week Mary Tyler Moore, who died at age 80 of pneumonia on the 25th of January. She, of course, is best known from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, which ran from 1970 through 77 and was kind of a revolutionary show. And I was reading that, like, the writers on the show were not majority female, but like there was an unprecedented number of women writers, which was just like no one did that before her. And her character was this really independent career woman, and she had it written into her contract that she got to wear pants once an episode. And like it was just all this stuff that just seems, I mean, so ridiculous now, but at the time was just really, really incredible. And there have been some really beautiful tributes to her as well. So yeah, if you're a fan of kind of classic TV, that would definitely have been a loss for you this week. Luckily, there is a whole bunch of stuff from the Mary Tyler Moore Show and also the Dick Van Dyke Show, which he co-starred in, on YouTube. So I've seen a lot of those floating around as well. And people, like, they're really funny. I mean, it's a really funny show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, like another sort of legend loss, but what a fantastic legacy she's left behind. You know, I think I was really struck by, because the Mary Tyler Moore Show and the Dick Van Dyke Show weren't shows that were shown over here. So I've been sort of very, vaguely aware of her, but just seeing the tributes that poured in for her and just people speaking up in entertainment, women especially speaking up about how significant she was for what they do now, you know, like so much of what women get to do in entertainment now is because she paved the way for that. And I think that's just, again, you know, it's a beautiful legacy to leave behind. And we can only be very, very thankful that she was here to do all of that, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So moving on to TV now, this first story is kind of a throwback for me, but it is not a throwback for the person involved, because we're going to talk about the Vampire Diaries for a hot second, because some pretty big news broke that Nina Dobrev, who left the series, I don't even remember when that was, a while back, I actually did watch that episode, is coming back for the series finale, which is very good news. When Elena was, because Elena was the main character of the show, and when she left the show, they had to do a lot of restructuring to sort of make everything go on around her, and obviously the Salvatore brothers were still the lead characters. Caroline came to mean a whole lot more. She became a very, like, more central than she had been before, and she had a romance with Stefan, and there was all of that. And, you know, I feel like just based on, because I've checked out of the Vampire Diaries a couple of times and come back and checked out again, like once upon a time, I just don't know how to quit it. But I used to be really into it, and one of the things that really turned me off was just knowing that Elena was going to be gone, because I really did like her. So for me, an old fan, it's nice knowing that she will be back to send the show off in style. It's nice that whatever ending that Julie Plec may have had for her and Damon, or her and Stefan, or whatever, is still going to be able to go ahead. It would also be nice, obviously, because Elena, or Nina Dobrev, didn't only play Elena. She played, like, all of the Elena clones through time. So it would be nice to see, like, a flashback to Catherine or something like that. But anyway, it's just, I wanted to include it here because I know that Vampire Diaries means so much to so many people. And it used to mean a lot to me because I used to be really into it. So I was very, very happy to see that she will be back. And I will probably, I mean, for this reason, I'll probably tune into the finale, which I wouldn't otherwise have done. So
the publicity
very
worked.
Very cool. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They got me again. Damn
yeah.
it.
He's sucking you back in. Yeah, okay.
Literally.
Yeah, keeping with the TV news now, quick story here that ABC has ordered a comedy pilot from David Diggs, who everyone knows from Hamilton. Variety reported this news, and the show is going to be about an outspoken, idealistic rapper who runs for office as a publicity stunt and actually gets elected, then surprising everyone, including himself, when he has a natural knack for the job and slowly transforms City Hall. Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure Diggs is at the moment only on to produce this. They've cast someone else to star in it, and I'm going to find out who it is. Brandon Michael Hall has been cast. I saw this floating around the other day as the lead in the pilot, so... You know, we'll see what happens with that. But I mean, it sounds pretty great. So we'll see how it goes.
Like, this is so funny.
Yeah.
This is so funny because, like, obviously, you know, like, speaking of outspoken rappers who've talked about running for government, we all know that that's exactly what Kanye planned to do. But obviously, this doesn't sound like it would be the disaster.
It's like Kanye meets Parks and Rec.
Yes, yeah, but like a good Kanye, you know, like a philanthropic. Yeah. And it can't be worse than like the shit show right now. No, I actually like it. I mean, I abhor the idea of celebrities running for office on principle, but I like the idea of this show turning it into something really positive. And obviously, like a rapper who becomes a politician, like, you know, you can have some... Like they should get Lin-Manuel Miranda on to do the music for it, and they should just make it a musical and just go all the way. And that would be fantastic with me. This sounds really, really, really good. And I'm very, very, very into this. And I think we need some positive depictions of governments in general.
Yeah.
And I'm all for this.
Definitely. We'll see what happens. ABC has ordered, I think, 10 pilots by now. So,
yeah.
So there's a lot. I know there's a Zach Braff one that they're doing and a bunch of others. So, you know, we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes. But we'll definitely keep you updated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of pilots that may or may not be going ahead, but have at least taken the first step towards becoming series, the CW has ordered a new pilot from The 100 showrunner Jason Rothenberg. Yeah, guys, of course I'm going to talk about this. Excuse me. So this news actually broke the day after I did my interview with him, and I'm like kicking myself that I didn't ask, but I'm also thinking he probably would have just said like, an announcement will be coming soon, so... It's good that I didn't waste time on that. But the pilot that he has written, we already knew that this was coming, but it's this is the news that the CW has officially ordered the pilot. It will be, if it goes ahead to series, he will be working as exec producer on it along with Greg Berlanti, who's of course doing like all of the Arrowverse shows for the CW, and Sarah Schechter, who's also involved with that universe. And the pilot is called Searchers, and it sounds to me like a really good blend of The 100 and Supernatural, which is also obviously a huge hit for the CW, so it makes sense that they want to capture some of that vibe. It follows this group of unlikely heroes, with the lead characters being a sibling team of described as quote-unquote a pragmatic brother and a free-spirited sister, a.k.a. Bellamy and Octavia Blake.
Wow.
and he, you know, he what write what you know, as they say, right? So they discover a roadmap that will lead them on a journey to discover the great legends, myths, and unexplainable mysteries of the world. So this, to me, this sounds like it has the potential to be really good, because it basically takes all of my favorite things, like Bellamy and Octavia, hunting monsters Winchester style, but with a twist of mythology, which, you know, if you watch The 100, you know that Jason Rothenberg tries to weave in some mythology and symbolism and stuff in there. And it would be nice to see what he could do if he ran with it. And I like this notion too, that it could potentially be a little bit more international than a lot of American shows obviously have to be, because they're American. You know, it like there's a little bit of Percy Jackson potential in here. You know, it's like it's very, very intriguing to me, and I'm very, very excited to see how this develops. And as far as like people are obviously saying, well, if like this is just a pilot, but if it's picked up to series, what does that mean for The 100? And aside from like having to duel about the slots, because the CW already has like a full plate of great shows, it doesn't really mean anything except for good things, because it's nice that the CW is sort of committing to another pilot by Jason Rothenberg. Like, they're sort of banking on keeping him. And Greg Berlanti has like a million pilots. So it's like, it's a project. So it's not like a thing that CW people can't be working on more than one thing at once. But I mean, this sounds really good, doesn't it?
It does sound fun. I like had no idea what this was about. I just assumed that you would want to talk about it when I saw the news. Yes. I was like, well, I'll be surprised on the show. No, this sounds really fun. I think, yeah, I mean, the Blake sibling parallel is kind of hard to miss. But
it's very, yeah. Right there.
But I'm on board with that, as people will know mm-hmm. from listening to the 100 season two. Yeah, I like it. I mean, I try not to get too attached to pilots because... Right. I've been burnt before, but I would definitely be keeping an eye on this. And like now, as I'm very invested in the 100, I'm very keen to see some other stuff from him. And, you know, I've kind of fallen a little behind in the Arrowverse things, but not because I didn't like the shows, just because it became a little overwhelming to keep up with them all. So I am a fan of Greg Berlanti as well. And I'm like kind of trying to imagine a combination now of like Arrow and the 100, or more like Supergirl and the 100. So yeah, we'll see how it goes.
It would be so much fun. And I just will say like one last thing on the 100 is that, I mean, when I spoke to Jason Rothenberg, he was very optimistic about a season 5. Like he's sort of saying, you know, from what he knows, obviously the season hasn't even started yet, so it's like nobody actually knows anything, but from what he knows, the network seems very committed to seeing the show through, which is really good news, and also sort of plays into this announcement that they're like, okay, Jason, what else have you got, you know?
The 100 is always like renewed quite late though, isn't it? I feel like...
Yes.
Yeah, from memory, I remember seeing you freaking out. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is good too, because like even if the 100 is canceled, you know, touch wood, like we'll still have this.
No, so I think this is definitely a good sign for the show going forward. Like, I think it would be unlikely for them to kind of order this early if they were thinking like the other show is going to fail, because they want to bank on being able to say like from the creator of the 100, like blah, 100. Blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So yeah they want
to have something to pair it up with.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And they like to get the new show started while the old one is going, so they can get the fans over. Yeah, I'm sure like season 5, for sure will happen, but says the person who's only watched 2 seasons.
You haven't gotten to like the trash fire season yet, so.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, one more exciting piece of TV news before we finish up. We have some fun times for Veronica Mars fans. We are going back to Neptune, apparently, at some point, because creator Rob Thomas and star Kristen Bell have kind of confirmed that basically they are down to do a 6-episode miniseries of Veronica Mars, and it's just a matter of finding out when. So, of course, this ties in with all of the revivals that are happening. Veronica Mars kind of kicked that off back in 2014 when they had that Kickstarter film. So I guess it makes sense that they're going to do this. That said, obviously, Kristen Bell is currently starring in The Good Place, so doesn't have a lot of time. We'll get to that. And Rob Thomas, still doing iZombie, and is also developing another series for the CW, another network. So it's you know, I guess this is nice to know if you're a Veronica Mars fan, like this will happen eventually, it seems like. But it's kind of a tease at the same time, because it's like, well, we're going to do it, but we're not going to tell you anything else about it. And we don't know when we're going to do it. And anyway, bye. Have fun with that new information. So, did you watch Veronica Mars?
Oh, yes, I did. I love Veronica Mars. I wasn't like really super into the movie, I have to say. It didn't capture me the way that the original, because also I wasn't really a huge fan of the last season.
No, me
you
either.
Know? Like it kind of lost me. So, and I didn't think they recaptured that in the reboot. So, I mean, more Veronica Mars is never going to be a bad thing in my book. I'm here for it. I'm ready to see what they come up with.
That's true. I actually watched Veronica Mars for Rewatchable for the first time, another podcast on Hyperball.
Oh,
and
did you?
I did.
Oh, fun. I didn't know that.
I did. And I really liked the first 2 seasons, and I really did not like the 3rd season. It had a lot to do with the kind of depiction of the college campus and et cetera. And I didn't mind the movie, but I think it was more like I enjoyed it because of the excitement of like, oh, this show, and everyone's excited, and you know, you kind of get swept up in that. But I mean, Kristen Bell is great, so I would kind of watch her do anything, I think, which is why I probably need to watch The Good Place. But I don't know, I guess this is nicer maybe than the kind of thing that happened with Gilmore Girls, where everyone kept saying like, oh, if we can do it, we will do it, and you sort of never knew where they stood on it, versus this, they seem to have some pretty firm plans of what they would like to do. So, you know, we'll see how that goes, I guess. We'll keep you updated when we get any more news about that. And then to finish up today, we have some music news. I'm going to step in and do my best Pam because she's not here, obviously.
Be careful that you don't set up the Siri.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't think it recognizes Australian accents, because even like my Siri never even works when I talk to it, and it's like doesn't kind of understand what I'm saying. So I was trying not to take that personally. We have some exciting news for Hamilton fans. We found out this week that the Schuyler sisters, Philippa Sue, Renee Elise Goldsberry, and Jasmine Cephas Jones, are going to be doing the Super Bowl pregame. You know, obviously,
oh my God,
this is exciting because they're not in the show together anymore. So it's kind of a reunion, like a Schuyler sisters reunion for them, because they're all off doing their own things. They've all left Hamilton, you know, having done quite a long run in it. So, yeah, that's it. That's it. They're going to be singing America the Beautiful. We know that they sound fantastic together. Maybe they'll get in a little Hamilton somewhere there. Maybe not. But, you know, it's all good news.
Mm-hmm, definitely. All right, so that brings us to the end of the news, and we will move on to TV show of the week. And I'm going to ask you, Marima, did you watch The Good Place?
No, but I know what happened because I read a recap. So,
okay. Well, that's a nice effort.
Yeah, I was like, I don't have time to watch the whole thing, but I'm going to find out what this is about. So I did read a recap to spoil myself on the finale. I still want to watch it, but you can go ahead and talk about it freely.
It'd be interesting watching it now that you know what happens. Okay,
that's
so
true, actually.
The Good Place. Like that will give you a different perspective. But so The Good Place finale of season one has been out for a couple of weeks now, so I am going to talk about it. But if you haven't watched it yet, you don't want to know what happens yet, then please skip ahead a couple of minutes, and I'll probably put in exactly how long you should skip ahead. So hold for like a version of me that's halfway through playing Skyrim telling you how much time you have to skip ahead.
Skip ahead to 1 hour, 14 minutes, and 20 seconds.
So The Good Place, obviously the finale, is hugely like subversive for a comedy show, because it basically turns the entire series on its head. You know, Good Place was built on the premise that Kristen Bell's character has landed in the quote-unquote good place by mistake. And all of these good people around her, like she kind of begins to ruin their life, and it becomes like a question of can she own up to it or can she not? And when she owned up to it, I remember there was some like confusion, like, wasn't it like too soon? Like, aren't they breaking the formula? But that turned out to just be the beginning, because in the finale, they actually revealed that the good place is actually the bad place. And the four main characters, that also include Tahani and Chidi, are quote-unquote bad people who are there to be punished. And the super cool like leader of the place, Michael, is actually like super evil. And I will say, first of all, this was actually like a really popular theory. Like a lot of people had predicted this would happen, because they would like point out that Chidi and Tahani weren't necessarily like super good people. It's very brave for a comedy to do this, to sort of upend its premise in the finale and set up like basically a reboot next season. They're just going to start over. And I'm like excited about it, but I am also a little bit apprehensive, because I think this is going to sound like I'm 90 years old, which maybe I am. You don't know. I'm just a voice. But, you know, I feel like I like my comedies to be a little bit safer than this. Like I kind of, because I had read the theory, so I knew this was kind of a possibility, but I was thinking they would never do that, because you know, they basically ruined quote-unquote like a whole season of world building. Like all that was real was these central four characters, and everything else was fake. And I think that kind of like, it's kind of like that TV show, what was it Dallas Cheers. It was a show that basically had a whole season that turned out to be a dream. And people were like, okay, so have I just been watching, like, why have I been watching the show for a season? So I think I'm kind of torn between whether I think it's really, really cool or whether I feel a little bit cheated.
Yeah, Dallas season 9.
Ah, that was the one. Thanks. But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird because I want to be like super excited about this, and part of me am, but another part of me is kind of like, okay, but so what show am I watching? You know?
Yeah, I have to say, like, when I read the thing, it made me a lot more interested in the show than I was before. Because before it was like, oh, it's like a fun comedy and Kristen Bell, I like her, I like the creators, it sounds interesting. Mm. But this sounds way more interesting than, she's in quote-unquote heaven and like she's not meant to be there. Because that premise, like, you run into problems with that. Because,
yeah,
like you said, once you reveal that and you kind of, they start working out like, oh, what are we going to do about it? I mean, you can have a certain amount of like, these are the ramifications type storylines, but then you reach a wall. So
yeah,
I don't know.
There's only so far you can go with it. So yeah. This kind of blows it all wide open. And you don't expect that season 2 is going to be like a repeat of season 1 where they're going to slowly figure it out. Like, it's probably going to happen a lot faster and then they'll take it from there. So in that way, I think it's hugely innovative, and it's sort of, in a weird way, it's kind of like streaming's effect on network television, because this is something that would happen in a Netflix show, except it's happening on, you know, broadcast week to week. So it'll be, I'm excited. I think it's a great way to blow open the genre, and it's a good way of circumventing some of the, like, people already had huge issues saying this doesn't make sense, and now they can basically do a tabula rasa and say, haha, it was never meant to make sense. But it also feels a little bit cheap. So I'm like, you know.
Oh, really? Like, no, I don't get that. I mean, obviously, I haven't been watching the show, so I'm not allowed an opinion, but I have one anyway. No, I think, like...
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah,
this is our feud.
Yeah, this is our feud. No, I think it sounds really interesting. And obviously, like, I have not watched the show, but like you said, I am kind of intrigued enough that I would like to go back and see some of it now with this in mind. To kind of see.
Yeah.
That said, like, I'm sure this is how they pitched it, right? There's this girl, she goes to the good place, she's ruining things, she's changed people's lives. At the end, it's revealed she's actually in the bad place. Like, that.
In the bad place. Yeah, exactly.
So this,
like,
was
one
their
long pilot, really.
Yeah, this was this would have been the log line from the start. So it's not like, I can see the argument for it being cheap, but that only makes sense to me if this is kind of a last minute, like, retcon of things where they're like, oh, it doesn't make sense, what are we going to do? I know, it's the bad place.
Versus this
where it was very obviously planned out, at least for this season, that this would be the end point. And I'm sure that's how they sold it. So I'm kind of intrigued
because I got so invested in it.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it'll depend a lot on, like, what happens in the first couple episodes of season 2. Because I think you could totally be right. If they draw this out, or if they start doing like a repeat of what you've already seen, that I can understand as a fan, that would be very frustrating. But
you do just walk a fine line between making your audience feel like, wow, this is so cool, and making them feel like, okay, well, what's the point? You know, like, it is a balance. Like, you can't just throw anything on screen and be like, look how innovative we are.
But yeah, of course not.
For now, I'm into it. I'm like a little bit like, oh, also because I really like Michael and I'm really sad that he's evil. So I'm a little bit like, oh no, I feel cheated. But for like 90% excited, I will say. And I'm excited too, because there's this whole thing about soulmates and who are soulmates and who aren't. And this might just be me not paying attention, but I'm not like sure if that was actually still going to be a thing or if that was part of the fake Good Place makeup.
Oh.
So if they're actually going to keep the thread of, because there's also like, there's a thing of like, ooh, like who actually belong together in this constellation of people that could be very, very exciting moving forward. So
is Michael Ted Danson's character?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yay. I want to watch this show.
Like, yeah.
Now that I know what happens.
You should. You would like it. Yeah.
Do you do this ever? Like, totally, you want to know what's happening in something, so you just read the recap because you can't bother watching the show. I do it all the time.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Okay, cool.
That's how
just
I came up with how to get away with murder, because, like, I checked out of that in season 1, but I still know everything that happens in that show.
Oh, yeah. I should do that. It's hard. That's hard with Shondaland shows, though, because, like, so much happens every episode.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was a good place. I also really briefly wanted to talk about the Riverdale pilot, just because that's, I know there's a big show that just premiered on the CW. It was screened at Comic-Con. Have you seen the Riverdale pilot?
No, but I've read the controversy about it being not very diverse or innovative or something or other.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to spend too much time on it because, I mean, I've made no secret on social media that I didn't like it very much. And I know Pam did. So I wish she was here to kind of weigh up the discussion. But I mean, I will just say briefly that I watched it sort of because I've never read the Archie comics. I have no idea what it is. So I came at it with a completely fresh perspective. But it didn't grab me because it kind of, for the most part, just felt like something I'd seen before. Like it feels like a One Tree Hill, or it feels like a Gossip Girl, or an OC, which I know some people really like because it like sort of brings back the golden age of those kinds of teen shows. But I think what strikes me is that it doesn't feel like it has moved beyond that golden age, and that kind of ties into the lack of representation, because, you know, we have queer baiting, we have one extremely stereotypical gay character that the show is like so excited about having, but on the CW, like, there is representation on the CW. The CW is fairly good, fairly okay at representation, so that's not really that exciting. And then you just have like this bunch of, I hate to say it, but this bunch of white people having really glossy problems, and it just feels a little bit tired to me. So it's not like I dislike it, it's not like I'm against it, though Donya on Hyperbole wrote a really, really, really important article that pointed out some of the queer baiting and some of the like asexual erasure and aromantic erasure that has happened with a, like, could you imagine like a character that is canonically asexual and they choose to make him straight in the show? Like, that to me just feels outrageous. And then we get these comments in the article going like, oh, I hate that we have to like add representation to everything, why can't you just enjoy a thing? And I'm just thinking, this is literally like the opposite of every other argument that they would have made, because usually it's people saying this thing was not really diverse, why don't you add some diversity to the adaptation? And they're like, no, stick to the source material. And this is literally someone saying, just stick to the source material. So that's really dumb, and I hate that. But no, that's a really important article. It's basically what I was trying to say. And I'm not enticed. I'm not intrigued. I have too much to watch. This didn't catch me.
Yeah, that sounds fair. So I don't think I'm going to watch that.
It happened.
It didn't. I watched the trailer of it because I saw some people kind of buzzing on my Twitter feed, and it just seemed, I kept waiting for something exciting to happen, but it just seemed kind of, like, you said, tired. Yeah. I wanted to.
Like, I don't care who killed that guy.
Yeah, exactly, right. I obviously haven't watched this, but I want to give a quick shout out to Powerless, which is premiering this week, which I am so excited about. This is
I'm excited too.
The comedy series that's set within the DC universe, but it's like the people who work for Bruce Wayne's cousin at Wayne Enterprises, or like
Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, Wayne Security. Yeah, it's got Alan Tudyk. It's got Vanessa Hudgens, Danny Pudi. Like, it's got a really fun cast, and it's basically them trying to create things to protect people from like the superheroes who keep destroying the city. And it seems really fun. It's such an interesting, cool take on the kind of superhero shows that we are getting so many of now. And it premieres on the 2nd of Feb. I actually haven't seen if there's a, I mean, maybe there's a screener up and I could have watched it by now. Anyway, I haven't watched it, but I've been watching the trailers with high levels of anticipation. So I will definitely be checking that out, and I will report back next time.
Yes. And next week we will have probably not any, because next week at the 100 premieres, but since Pam and Merrim are still catching up, I probably won't be able to talk about it with them. So, but I will be talking about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend because I finished season one and I'm working my way through season two now. So I will for sure be caught up by next week. So stay tuned for that discussion. And moving on now to listener feedback, we're going to start with some of the, because last week we had a conversation about how we organize our bookshelves randomly, as we do.
Oh, yeah.
We had some comments, just people telling us how they arrange their bookshelves. So if you want to take the first one from Stephanie.
Yeah, Stephanie M says, my books are grouped by series and then arranged vertically by importance. Oh, I used to do this. I appreciate this. My Harry Potters and my Percy Jacksons are on my top shelves, my John Green novels on the middle shelves, and the college textbooks I couldn't sell back and the Twilight series are on the floor. So
ouch.
No comment. We also have a comment from Melissa who says, I group my books from tall to short. My Harry Potter books are on their own shelf. Also, why the Johnny Depp hate? Oh, do you want to take the Johnny Depp question?
I think it's when an actor is sort of embroiled in the kind of controversy that Johnny Depp is embroiled in, it's pretty hard to separate that from our discussion sometimes. But I think just relevant to fandom discussion, I think we also just were all super disappointed by his performance in Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
It's kind of both.
Yeah, we were disappointed with his casting. See our conversation about Casey Affleck at the beginning of this show.
Yes. Yeah. So moving on with bookshelves, Naomi Coop Kennedy said, the first bookshelf I didn't move yet is my beloved MG titles, pretty much what Selena did, list. So I guess the same books I listed, plus Anne, Giver, and Kit Pearson.
Okay, what we have
MG. Why can't I figure that out?
Is it a Tamara Pierce thing?
No. I don't know. You'll have to clear that up for me, Naomi, because I'm probably just stupid, but I can't figure it out.
Okay. We have an email here from Fernanda Torres who says, hi, girls. So here's how I disorganize my bookshelf. And there is a picture. So that is amazing. So cool. There are a lot
don't
of Funkos.
Afraid. There are Funkos on it.
There are a lot of Funkos. Look, I don't like Funkos. I'm sorry. I just can't. Anyway, it's fine. But there's a lot of fandom stuff on here. This is an A+ bookshelf. Would recommend.
Absolutely. So we have some comments, a lot of comments about everything else that aren't bookshelves. So let's just start moving through the tweets if you take the first
one. Yeah, this one is from Shelley who says, so it is actually pronounced Tamara Pierce. Is that, I still don't know, I'm not still.
Tamara
Pierce?
I think it must be Tamara.
Tamara, yeah. Pierce? Okay, apparently Tamara was a misspelling on her birth certificate. I only found this out recently too. I believe there's more info in her last Reddit AMA or maybe her website. Okay, Shelley, next time send a pronunciation guide because obviously I still can't follow.
Rachel says, and this is specifically for me and makes me so happy. She says, I can't agree more about John Dillard from John Owl series. Sean Owl. Owl? Oh, God. Speaking of pronunciation, God. Isla is so freaking awesome and deserves better than him. Yes! Thank you so much. First of all, thank you for having read them too, so I don't feel so alone. And thank you for saying this because John Dillard is like 100% the worst. And I am reading like The Plains of Passage right now. I am loving it so much. And now John Dillard is mad at the wolf dog. And I'm just like, this is literally the worst person in the world. Why is he the main lead character? He has all the dislikable traits. I don't get it. So I'm mad.
Wow. Okay. I don't know what any of that meant. But Rebecca said, have any of you read the Edge Chronicles series? My absolute favorite. I highly recommend. I have not. I have heard of it, though. It's like a fantasy I think it's like multiple trilogies or something. It's like one of those really big series. But no, I haven't. But thank you for the recommendation.
And Chrissy is responding to our adding in of a Star Wars spoiler warning in episode 129. She says, mommies of one-year-olds can't always see movies as quickly as we'd like. Spoiler warnings are still appreciated. Smiley face. Good to know.
Yeah.
We'll do our best to signpost that. And congratulations with your baby. The end. Go on.
Yeah. Okay, Shauna says, I'm so excited about Logan. I think it'll change superhero movies. It looks intimate and artsy, and I can't wait for a fresh take. Totally agree.
Same. Mm-hmm. Ellie says, just been to see La La Land. Loved it. Thanks for the recommendation. We'll be humming in for the rest of the evening. La La Land.
Yeah. That's how it goes. Yeah. How did you know? Sarah says, been off work sick and finally catching up with Gilmore Girls, nearly done season 2. When am I supposed to start liking Jess? And a follow up, finished season 2 and listening to the recap. Oh, God, I was supposed to like Jess by now. well, this is a good time to shout out our Gilmore Girls specials. The special for fall will be coming out this week, but you can listen to our specials for all of the first 7 seasons, plus, like, you know, our analysis of the show, the revival, immediately after seeing it, plus episodes for every revival episode. And, you know, I don't think Selena liked Jess in season two either. I don't think you were kind of not sold. Like, you were like, why do you guys like him?
I think I was like, well, I guess because I knew you liked him and because I knew that you guys aren't like, if you like someone, it's probably a good reason. So I was like, okay, well, I can kind of see why you would like him eventually. So that was kind of like, I was cashing in on the like early, even though he wasn't really likable to me at that point. But, you know, Sarah, I will say by the revival, I think you will definitely like him. But if you don't, then I would love to hear why.
Yeah.
Janet says, listening to the most recent episode and Pam just activated Siri on my phone as well. This is insane. This is why we didn't have her on the show, because it would just be too distracting.
That's true. Okay, and we have
it's so weird though.
Yeah, it is weird. I don't know what that's about. We have an email here from Sarah Venz who says, "Hi girls, I finally got through the second to last episode. I mainly listen at work and sometimes I get interrupted so much it takes me a couple days to finish an episode. Other times though, I get through four in a day. I got in touch with you guys a few times through Twitter, but this time I thought I would mail you since 140 characters is just not enough to share my thoughts, opinions, and love for you guys." Oh, we appreciate love in any form. "I can't promise this mail will be short because let's face it, it probably won't be true. First of all, some thoughts I had on the second to last episode. I almost spit out my coffee with laughter with one of the things Selena said. She was like, you know, I don't really like the fact that Ariana Grande is singing this song in Beauty and the Beast just because she's a big pop star. And Pam said, then who would you like to hear sing the song? And Selena said, I don't know, Adele or something. What? Like, she's not a big pop star. I mean, I would like to sing Adele here. I would like to hear Adele sing everything. So I'm on board with that.
I will explain this after.
You want to explain it now? We can take a pause.
Oh, I can do
intermission
in
the email. Just, email intermission.
Yes. Break. No, I would just explain. I'm glad I made you laugh with that, by the way. But I just want to clarify that I didn't, like, the reason I was so stammery doing that was because I actually couldn't think of anyone to say. So Adele was kind of like a placeholder name, because I think I did say that it didn't make sense because she was like equally hyped. But I think I just kind of meant more that Ariana Grande, it's so ridiculous, but it's just because she's so like
everywhere.
Yeah, young. No, that's the wrong thing to say. But like, she's like, I don't know, this like Ariana Grande, the yeah, like she's so everywhere. Whereas, I mean, so is Adele. Adele is a bad example.
No, but Adele is amazing. Adele should be Belle. That would be great.
I was just trying to think who is the Celine Dion of our time, not necessarily the voice, but the presence. And I was like, well, that's more, in my opinion, it's more of an Adele than an Ariana Grande. But it wasn't like a criticism of her voice, because Ariana Grande has an amazing voice. It was just, I was kind of spitballing off of, like, you know, someone like that.
Sarah continues, "Second thought I'd like to share. I so feel the cringing with TV series pain. Therefore, I could not watch The Office or anything Ricky Gervais does for that matter." Yeah, I can see that. Although that's worth it. If you can get through The Office, that's hilarious. The UK one. Sarah says, "I was thrilled to hear you guys talk about Power Rangers on the newest episode. Both my boyfriend and myself were freaking out. We have the release date of the movie marked on our calendar and I have a babysitter planned so we can go to the cinema to watch it. I so feel your pain with the list of TV shows getting longer and longer each week. My boyfriend and I have an agreement only to watch two series at a time, one funny short one and one with longer episodes, which are more serious. So The 100 is on hold for the moment and I need to stay spoiler free because we are watching Narcos now. Oh my God, so good. Whenever I listen to your episodes, my list gets longer. I will listen to it with my bullet journal open next to me, just adding on stuff." That's amazing.
That's actually, I feel like, yeah, I should do the same.
I need to write them down because I forget what I promised to do. I've promised to read Lauren Graham's book and to watch Powerless. Maybe watch The Good Place is not going to happen before next week. The other two I can maybe do before next week. And I need to watch The 100 season 3 so I can get through my DVD.
Yes, absolutely. But no, good. Maybe if I didn't confuse you too much with that Adele rant, then you could share your bullet point list with us sometime, because I'm sure we would love to see what's actually on there. But we're glad that we're inspiring you to check out some new stuff, because that is kind of one of the aims of the show. So it's always great to hear people discovering new things and inspiring each other too, because so many of our recs actually come from the listeners. So that brings us to the end of this week's show. We hope you enjoyed our discussions of the news and TV shows and how we hype and everything else. If you want to weigh in, speaking of recommendations of what you would like us to talk about or on any of the stuff we talked about this week, you can do that by emailing hype@hypeable.com. You can tweet us at hypeablehype. You can leave a comment on episode 132 of Hype on hypeable.com, which is hypeable.com. And you can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. We would also like, again, to remind you that we are recording our The 100 Season 3 special soon. And for this podcast, if you are able to, we would prefer you send in your feedback via email. First of all, so Pam and Merma don't get spoiled via Twitter, and also so it doesn't get lost in the Twitter feed, because we're not necessarily, like, we're going to try our best to find it, but sometimes it does get lost in between the other feedback. So if you send it via email, you know we've gotten it. So even if your comment is short, that's probably the best way. But, if, you know, tweet as well. Just keep it really spoiler-free, because Pam and Merma don't want to get spoiled on the big
season three
developments. Yeah. Thanks, but no thanks to spoilers.
Even though Pam already spoiled me on one of them, and I'm still mad about it.
Yes, she did. She did. So you don't want to spoil Merma any more than she already has been.
No, I'll be sad. A sad Australian.
Yeah. So, and of course, our Gilmore Girls finale podcast has already been recorded and will be released later this week. So if you've been keeping up with those, then keep an eye out on Twitter and on our iTunes feed, which you should be subscribed to anyway, because that way you never miss an episode. I think that's everything we have to say at the end of the show.
Yes? I think so.
Okay. So until next week, my name is Selena.
And I'm Merma.
Helicopter coming.
Oh, to lift you out to the studio tour, or where are you going?
I'm off to Hype.
Oh, man. My God.